It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger, brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
All right, let's talk some football. Good afternoon. Welcome to Sports Central, covering the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. I'm Corey Geiger. We got intern Nathan Forlina in with us. We did our baseball week a couple of weeks ago. Nathan, I wanted to do that, devote a lot of time to baseball for a week, because I know we've got football coming up. Big Ten Media Days, Steelers training camp starts this week. You're ready for some football? You got your Houston Texans or Houston Oilers T-shirt coming in here.
Yeah.
Throwback with you got like Warren Moon on there or Earl Campbell
just
on the
regular
back
shirt,
or what?
Just a regular shirt, but you know I love the Oilers. I love their color scheme, their logo. I think it's one of the best of all time. So, but yeah, I mean I'm a football fan. That's my number one true passion is football. So I'm ready for it, whether it's college, NFL. I'm just stoked that it's going to be back here.
Before too long.
Training camps this week. It's back.
Yeah,
it's back.
We've got 2 good hours for you today. We're going to talk primarily Penn State on this show, although if you want to call in and talk anything else, Steelers, Pirates. I was about to say Penguins. Don't call and talk Penguins. I don't want I literally was about to say Penguins just out of habit. But anyway, coming up.
Penguins ain't going anywhere.
Yeah, we're not doing Penguins. 5 o'clock. We've got our Black and Gold Breakdown show, the debut show of the season. Kreider will be in here with me along with Matt Bortner. We're going to talk all things Steelers as they open training camp this week. We'll have a whole bunch of Russell Wilson discussion in the second hour. You want to talk about that, we can as well. Penn State will kind of dominate our discussion this hour. I was talking to Nathan a minute ago about like expectations. What are expectations for Penn State fans, for the Penn State players, for James Franklin, for the university? We can have multiple conversations. When I say expectations, we have different layers here of what we're talking about. Realistic expectations, delusional expectations. There are many. Nathan, did you know there are some delusional Penn State fans? You ever encountered
them?
Yeah.
They pop up a lot. I see them a lot.
That think that Penn State should win a national title like every 5 years?
Every 5 years is pushing it. No, I mean, unless you're an Alabama, Ohio State fan, you really shouldn't be expecting a national title every 5 years.
It's been 38 years since they've won one. And yes, you can say 94, maybe they should have, but this is what I'm talking about when it comes to expectations. There are the realities that Penn State is the 9th or 10th best college football program in the country. That's the reality. And that's pretty darn good. That doesn't mean they're winning a national championship anytime soon. So we'll get into some of that stuff. Then we were also discussing, and we'll tackle this a little bit later on the hour, expectations for other teams in the Big Ten, like, say, Wisconsin. You have a good question you were going to ask a little bit later on about the hot seat.
Yeah, we're just going to talk about coaches and where they stand in the hot seat in a little bit here, because I figure Big Ten Media Day, we'll see where everybody kind of falls in the conference, expectations, realities for every team, and if people are going to move off. Because I think Ryan Day is going to be a big question this year, so we'll discuss that in a bit here, but it should be interesting.
Yeah, because here's the thing. For all the expectations Penn State fans have, every fan in every fan base in this country, they all have expectations. Are they realistic? Like we were talking about Wisconsin. Wisconsin has been a pretty good national power. Like Penn State's number 9 or 10 in the country. Wisconsin's probably what? Just off the top of your head.
16-18? To 20. Yeah. Dead on.
Exactly. So what's the expectation for Luke Fickell at Wisconsin? How often do they have to make the playoffs? So we'll get into some of that stuff here in a bit. But Clarkster joins us here first. You're going to sabotage our Penn State discussion by going straight to the NFL. That's okay, though. Whatever the callers want to talk about, Clarkster, we'll go with what you've got.
Well, I want to give the next show coming up, I want to give it a new intro.
Okay.
Crying with Kreider.
Crying with Kreider.
Oh, my God.
you say it. I really can't say it. He's the boss. But
I know. nepotism. But anyway.
No, hey, Kreider is a fan, buddy. Kreider is a fan. He has the highest expectation for the Steelers. We're talking Super Bowl stuff here.
Well,
so.
I know, but all he does is get on there and cry.
I don't know if Kreider's out there listening in the other office.
I mean, give him a hanky or something.
You're going to get me fired.
Real quick, the NFL, you see now, is broaching the idea of going to 18 games.
Why would they do that?
Oh, my God, why would they do that?
Player safety, right? Don't they care about the player safety?
Whatever happened to those studies about the brain?
Yeah, they don't care because every game, I don't know.
It's about money.
What is every game in the NFL worth? What do you think, Nathan? $20 million? $15 million? Every Penn State,
I was just about 25, probably.
Every Penn State home game is worth like $10 million, $11 million. So every NFL home game, every NFL game is probably worth $20 million.
The poor sports, you know, people and stuff.
Yep.
I mean, you know, the kids going to college, remember they lived on Ramon noodles or whatever? Oh, my God.
Wait. Did you just disparage ramen noodles?
Noodles.
Did you just call them Ramon noodles? Ramon, like they're the Ramones?
Like the Ramones or whatever.
Now,
they
Nathan,
are, yes.
You're not a poor college kid, but you are in college. Have you gone through the ramen noodles phase of life?
I actually went through that probably 10th grade year of high school because I was home alone for the most part because we were off school and stuff like that. We were doing virtual, and I was the only one really at the house. So we just had like the little packages of ramen noodles that you just pour hot water into.
Clarkster, did you go through the ramen noodle phase at some point in your life? Did they have them 40 years ago when you were young?
No, but people just like to put out the negative of everything. That's the whole problem with, you know, people want to complain. But let's move on to the 18 games.
Yep.
18 games means at least another bye week.
Yeah.
Okay. Are they looking forward? Is this because of global warming that they think they can put more games on the schedule in the middle of the winter? I mean, they're friggin' nuts.
The people who run the NFL and Roger Goodell, they are so unbelievably money driven, as are many people in this world.
Yes.
You know, from Walmart and Apple, every big corporation, they don't give a damn about you. They don't give a damn about me. They care about their money. But what's fascinating to me about the NFL is this. They've talked about player safety for a long time after they got caught with their pants down for 20 years over the concussion issue. And then what do? They add a 17th game. And now here we are. How many years are we into the 17th? Was last year the second year?
I think 2020 was the last 16 games.
Okay, so third year. So we're 3 or 4 years into this, and they already won an 18th game.
Yeah. They're going to make this season run till they get a holiday on the Monday.
That's so why. President's Day.
It's going to run into February, you know, or something. I mean, they're nuts. And people will lick it up. And this will allow them to schedule international games.
It will happen. There's no question. They're going to go to 18 games, and it is inevitable. We're going to talk expectations, reality, what's real versus what's, you know, hoped for. The NFL is going to 18 games, and college football. Let me say this: college football, which is at 12 now, they're already talking about going to 14. It's going to happen. Period. When you're talking this kind of money, I hate that it's at 12. I kind of wanted 6 or 8. Now we haven't even had a 12 game playoff yet, and there are people out there that claim that's not enough.
Yeah, they're nuts. You just took me off my train of thought.
Oh, I did. Oh, that's a first.
Yeah, that's a first. Yeah, but no, it's a money thing, and it will allow them to sell and package more games under subscription plans and different things like that. We're total, and people will lick it up.
They will,
you know, and there is no, you know, kiboshing on the money that people will want to spend for these games.
Now wait a second. Do you hear what he just said? Kiboshing. He used it as a verb. You used. Kibosh. Now, look, I like these kind of discussions. You familiar with got to put the kibosh on something, Nathan?
I'm not familiar with that.
Have you ever heard that phrase?
I've never heard that phrase.
Clarkster, we got this guy over here. He's got to get with it. So anyway, it's when you want to stop something, you say you put the kibosh on it.
Okay.
As a noun. It's an you used kiboshing as a verb. Now I've never heard that, Clarkster.
Well, when you're 74, you get the license to abuse the language.
You're kiboshing, okay. So anyway, you know, Nathan, you're gonna have to get familiar with this. It's like I'm gonna have to put the kibosh in this conversation with the Clarkster.
Stop it. Yeah, stop it. All right.
I'll leave you guys.
Thanks,
alone,
brother. Appreciate it. 18 games. You like it or not?
I mean, I like it as a fan. I really think that it's. I mean, it's gonna go to it. It's inevitable. Like I'd guess probably by 27, 28, it's gonna be implemented. It's gonna be a few years, but
Why is it gonna take that long? Where are we in? When you said that, I'm like, what year are we in now? Sometimes you ever do that? Like, wait, this is 24, right? Not 20. Do you think it takes till 27?
Yeah, minimum. It's gonna take a few years, whether that's to rework stuff out with TV networks.
Right.
So it's just gonna take a little bit just logistically, but it's gonna happen. I think players, they're going to get used to it. I think the extra bye, because they're going to have to put a second bye week in as well. So I think the players are going to be okay with it because they're going to get that extra bye week. Not to mention pay is going to increase with it as well with an extra game. So I think it's all going to – I think it's going to work out for everybody. Then I think the ultimate goal for the NFL, I think 18 is kind of where it stops. I really do. I think 18 is the absolute – they're going to put the – draw the sand.
They're going to put the kibosh on it.
They're going to put the kibosh on it. They're just going to stop it.
You never heard that phrase.
I've never heard that phrase in my life.
Okay, so it is, you put the kibosh. What he said that caught my ear was kiboshing. They're kiboshing the raising the schedule. It's like, that's a verb now. That's you ever hear something and it just doesn't quite hit your ear right?
Yeah, it just doesn't sound right. It doesn't sound right. But I think the main reason they want to kibosh this is because... I'm not going to use it the correct sense here.
That's
but,
good.
But they want that Monday off. They want that Monday after Super Bowl off. And if you get that President's Day, they'll be happy because everybody's going to be off after. It's going to draw a little more attention to it. I think that's the main goal from the NFL. I think it's going to work out. It's going to be here before you know it.
All right. We're going to talk some college football here in the next segment. And apparently some woman got her ass beat at the Journey band concert on Thursday, Friday. Nathan was there. I actually couldn't make it. I want to hear the story. So we'll get into that here in a second.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 3-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
Whether it's popcorn for a movie or chips for a family picnic, great times and great snacks go hand in hand. Davison Snacks Outlet is your go-to place for snacks. Whether you want crispy, savory, or sweet, everything from small bags to bulk packages and gift baskets too. Davison Snacks has Martin's Chips and Snacks, jerky from Bronco Billy's and Brugaroo, All-Star Cotton Candy, Little Debbie Snack Cakes, Boyer Candy, Dots Pretzels, Wise Snacks, and more. Life is better with snacks from Davison Snacks Outlet, 16843 Dunnings Highway, Duncan.
Got Medicaid or are you uninsured? Do you need a doctor? We love to care at Gloria Gates Care and we're now accepting new members. At Gloria Gates Care, we've got all your needs in one place and we welcome you to come join us while we help you to receive the quality care you deserve. At Gloria Gates Care, we're redefining healthcare. For office hours and more information, call 814-300-7777. Gloria Gates Care, 2525 9th Avenue, Suite B, Altoona. Online at GloriaGatesCare.com.
Get to Mattis Motorsports now for CF Moto ATVs and side-by-sides. Mattis Motorsports is also your headquarters for trailers, both open and closed. Campers, brands like Astoria, Gulfstream, Puma, and more. Bad Boy Zero Turn Mowers in Lear and ARE truck cabs. Give Mattis Motorsports a call at 814-940-6288. Or check them out in person at 1702 East Pleasant Valley Boulevard in the Greenwood section of Altoona. And remember,
if it doesn't say Mattis, you paid too much.
This is it. Shop the Lowe's closeout event to get up to 70% off select major appliances for your home. Plus, get up to 60% off select patio furniture and accessories for your outdoor spaces. So hurry into your local store today, because these deals are too good to last. Shop them now before they're gone, because Lowe's knows savings. Lowe's knows home improvement. Valid through 8/7 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
Home ownership. At Progressive, we know it's part of the American dream. It's sea to shining sea and water damage as far as the eye can see. It's America. It's freshly mowed grass and a fence that was freshly vandalized by a pack of unruly teens. It's America. It's also round-the-clock protection when you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, which can help keep the American dream of home ownership alive and kicking. Get a quote at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers. Not available in all states. Hank FM.
All right, so I had to miss it the other day. Separate Ways, the band, their Journey cover band, they were at the Jaffa for part of the, Brickyard, whatever, something, concert series for the summer. Nathan was there. And there was a fight.
There was. It was interesting.
What happened in this? Now, my little girl was there. She said she thought the women were like in their 60s.
Well, yeah, that lady, I'd say late 60s, early 70s, is the lady that looked like she got out of a UFC octagon because her face looked bashed in.
She got knocked out.
Oh, yeah, out cold.
So did you have a good view of any of this stuff?
So what I saw out of the corner of my eye, I kind of saw like, people running
skirmish,
ever.
Yeah,
a little skirmish. I think they were trying to get people and trying to alert people.
Before the security could put the kibosh on.
Exactly, kibosh. So what happened, this is what I've been told, I don't know if this is true, all allegedly, is this lady was just, she was drunk. She was wasted, plastered, whatever you want to say. And she was just like stumbling into people. We saw her earlier in the night. So we were wondering whenever, because we didn't see the actual thing go down, me and the people I was with. But we saw this lady stumbling around her, like, oh, that's not going to end well. Her night's not going to end well. So we were wondering, is this this lady in this blue tank top? So next thing you know, it's a lady in the blue tank top on the ground, unconscious, with blood all over her face. We're like, what just happened here? So the story I've been told is she was just kind of, you know, bobbing around, tons of alcohol in her, and she was just stumbling into one person constantly. And that lady got sick of it, just like ripped her down and literally beat the crap out of her.
Allegedly.
Allegedly. So the guy on the singer had to like, he's like, stop it. We got to get somebody.
And stopped the whole concert for a while.
Yeah, it was probably a good half an hour. It took a while. It was a good half an hour. I mean, all they had to do was just go their separate ways. They needed to fight.
Beauty.
She needed to stop bleeding. She needed to stop bleeding.
That's good. Either way, you could have gone there.
Yes, we were all keeping our prayers faithfully.
She needed to stop bleeding.
Keeping our prayers faithfully. But she was...
Did she fall on the ground with open arms?
She was... open arms. They should have just welcomed each other with that, too.
Yep.
But yeah, so... But the reason it took so long is because she was refusing EMS. They're like, all right, so you're either going to get arrested because you're extremely drunk right now and you're causing problems. You're going to get arrested.
Allegedly.
Or you can just go with EMS and then... take you out on a stretcher, and we'll figure it out later.
In their 60s, like, I'm 50.
Yes.
I'm pretty old, but I can't imagine being in your 60s if that's...
I don't know if the girl that beat... I know the girl that got knocked out was in her 60s. I don't know if the girl that beat her up was that old.
And there's purportedly video of this somewhere.
Allegedly.
If anybody has video, I would like to see the video. Anyway, by the way, that's a good time to mention. I'm not going to be here Thursday. I'm actually going to see the real Journey in concert in Hershey with Def Leppard and Steve Miller Band. So that's going to be a tremendous show. So I'm not going to be here Thursday. So I will ask you this before we move on to our Penn State expectation question. I said the real Journey. So Steve Perry has not sang with Journey since 1996. The lead singer of Journey, Arnel Pineda, who was famously found because the founder, Neil Sean, was searching on YouTube in 2007, he has been the lead singer of Journey since 2007 for 17 years, which is longer than Steve Perry was the lead singer of Journey. Is Journey a cover band?
No, I don't think so.
No?
I wouldn't
say so. If you don't have your original singer,
no,
you're not a cover band.
Is AC/DC a cover band because their original singer died before?
Is Queen a cover band?
No.
Because
No, I would say
Freddie's not there.
No, if you have any of the original members that have never left, I'd say you're not a cover band.
I fall into your category.
Okay.
Now, my wife would completely disagree with you because my wife even says, you know, like the real Journey and, you know, quotation marks, that kind of thing, because it's not Steve. But now, the two other of their most famous members, Neil Sean, Jonathan Cain, they are still with the group, and they wrote and performed all the songs, the hit songs that they still sing. But I tend not to think of them as a cover band, because if we start going down that path, there are so many bands. Again, Queen with Adam Lambert, it's the rest of the band, but it's just not Freddie Mercury. You could basically say almost every band is a cover band version of itself now.
Yeah, as long as the singer's not there, I mean, you can make that claim. I don't think it's right, but some people might think that way. Honestly, it really doesn't matter. It's good music at the end of the day.
Okay, I'm intrigued here. Caller number two, and it says on the screen here that Jody typed in. It says, inside poop. So maybe it means
scoop.
Maybe it means some dirt here.
Let's hear it.
Caller number two, what do you got, man?
I have the inside poop on the fight.
Let's go.
Here we go. Hit.
Let's go.
From someone who runs that, it was a mother-daughter, and they were causing all sorts of problems up there by the front of the stage for a long time.
Yep.
The mother started going after the daughter, so the daughter decked her. So she put the kibosh to her, I think.
This just turned into like TMZ and is National Enquirer still a thing? I don't even know if that's still around.
It might be. I don't know.
So but, the yeah, daughter waylaid on the mom?
Yeah, but they were both wasted, is what I heard. But the mom was just over the top and punched her right in the nose, broke her nose, and then she fell hard on her head. That's why they were being so careful, because she went down like a ton of bricks.
She's out of the will, man.
Imagine your Thanksgiving this year.
She's not going to get the spoon and the fork and the broom.
This is tremendous inside poop, caller number two. I love this. I got to verify this.
Well, number two always brings the good
news. That's right. That's right. That's good. Before we get – we'll transition into some sports here because we're going to talk some Penn State and Big Ten. The expectation for Ohio State is national championship. Everybody, this is one of the greatest collections of talent Ohio State's ever had. Ryan Day going to be able to pull this off?
I'll tell you. They opened all the floodgates of the NIL. They went full bore with the assistant coach and the players. But there's probably going to be six really good teams, so you're going to have to get lucky too. But if they don't get it this year, it's about the best chance they have. I don't know about the quarterback.
Exactly. Who's the quarterback? That's the thing. I mean, if you're talking – you don't have – they've had such a tremendous line of quarterbacks. Justin Fields, JT Barrett. I mean, all these guys that have come through there. Yeah, exactly.
Wow.
Yeah, except for what was the McLeod last year? Was that McCord last
went
year?
To Syracuse. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, do they have a quarterback that's going to put it all together?
Well, it's I think his name's Will Howard from Kansas State. He looked good on film, and he's holding on to the top spot at this point. They have about six quarterbacks, and two of them are five stars.
No, they don't. They don't.
Did they lose some?
If you have three quarterbacks, you don't have one.
You're right.
I think that's a saying from Jeff Hostetler back in the day when he was competing with
They won the national title with the other guy.
Yeah, he ended up. Yeah. Why is the name? I'm drawing a blank with the name.
Come on in, turn boy.
Yeah.
I can't pull this.
The broadcaster from 82. Who's the broadcaster?
Blackledge?
Todd Blackledge. So,
Blackledge. Very good.
And Hostetler transfers. And again, I think the saying was if you have either two quarterbacks or three quarterbacks, you have no quarterbacks. Mm-hmm. So. Does Ohio State have a quarterback? If they're juggling between six guys right now on July 20 whatever, do they have one quarterback?
Well, I think the transfer fella I think they're going to have to knock him out. He's going to start, but yeah, it's going to be tough because the pressure is going to be on because they've got some excellent backups. And all those guys aren't going to stay.
All right, very good, pal. Appreciate the time, man. All right.
Will Howard, for Ohio State, Will Howard's going to be a problem for teams this year.
Is he?
I have tons of faith in that guy. I think he's going to be a Heisman candidate. He is that
because
good.
Of who he is, or because of who's around him?
I mean,
him?
Who's around him is going to help.
Dylan Gabriel's going to be a Heisman candidate at Oregon. Is that because of him or because who he's around?
I think Gabriel's just going to be because of him. I think he's that spectacular. I don't know if Will Howard is as good as Dylan Gabriel, but Will Howard is, with the weapons he has and what he did last year at Kansas State, he's going to be a very, very good quarterback in college football this year.
All right. We'll get caller number two's thoughts on this at another time because I wanted to get into this because he's an Ohio State fan. What Ohio State fans think of Penn State fans' expectations. Do Penn State fans have realistic expectations for their program? My answer is no, that they do not. What do you think?
I think for the most part, people understand that it's going to be tough to win a national championship. But I think a lot of people are very hopeful of it because they've seen teams make the playoffs at, like, a Cincinnati a couple years ago, where it's like, oh, this team was competing in the playoffs. Like, surely we can be better than Cincinnati. I think 2016 put a lot of maybe false scenarios in people's heads. Like, oh, like, this, maybe James Franklin's the guy who can take them there. I still think he is, but I think a lot of people have lost a little bit of faith in him the last few years, especially because they haven't really won a game of that magnitude since 2016. So it's tough to say. I mean, I think I'm a little bit of a delusion. I'm not delusional, but I think, like, oh, they can make a little run here delusional. I believe in them a little bit, maybe not as much as some people, but I do believe in them.
Here's the beauty. They do not ever have to beat Ohio State ever again in the regular season.
That's nice.
Not ever.
That was the hiccup.
If they lose 400 games in a row to Ohio State, now, Ken, the asterisk here is the regular season, they don't ever have to beat Ohio State ever again, and they can win a national title. And that's the difference with the 12-team playoff. When you were in the same division with Ohio State and Michigan, if you lost to Ohio State, you weren't going to win the division. You weren't going to get in the Big Ten championship. And that your playoff spot to the playoff was blocked.
Your playoff game was Ohio State.
Every year. Okay. And the best years that they've had in modern times, 05, 08, 16, they beat Ohio State those 3 years. Now, if they don't beat Ohio State, they can actually still lose another game and get in at 10-2. Most years, not every year at 10-2. Like, it'd be interesting this year. The schedule is not great. If the teams on their schedule don't play real well, and if they lose to Ohio State and say lose to Wisconsin or USC and they're 10-2, I would sit here and tell you they'd still be in the top 12.
Absolutely.
But if the rest of the teams on their schedule suck and you don't have any marquee wins, like if everybody else on your schedule wins 6 or 7 games and you don't have a single quality win, like maybe you go to USC and win, but USC goes 7-5. Well, that's not a great win in terms of getting you over a hump from 13-12, 12-11, that kind of thing.
Do you think there'll be a lot of teams like that, though? Because the SEC and Big Ten are going to have a lot of bias in this because their divisions are clearly superior.
The SEC West, sure, they still have that division. Well, I don't have it here in front of me, but I read, I'll just go back to this, the over-under win total for all these Big Ten teams. I wrote something about this. Give me a second. It's bad for all these teams. So there's not a tremendous expectation for the rest of the teams on their schedule. Over-under win totals. West Virginia, 6.5. We can sit here and say we think West Virginia's going to be good. Vegas thinks they're over-under 6.5.
Yeah.
That's either 7-5 or 6-6. Illinois, 5.5. UCLA, 5.5. USC, 7.5. Wisconsin, 6.5. Ohio State, 10.5. Washington, 7. Purdue, 4. Minnesota, 5. Maryland, 6.5. So if you beat all those teams, say you lose to either USC or Wisconsin, I'm just saying, would you have any quality wins on your resume other if you've lost to Ohio State and then either USC or Wisconsin?
I guess maybe you won't have quality wins. I just think you'd have the wins over bowl teams, probably those 6-6, 7-5
teams. It's a moot point,
probably,
because I think 10-2 gets them in.
Absolutely. I think even 9-3 might even sneak them in at 11.
The reality, you'd need some of those teams to be really good, though.
Yeah, absolutely.
If you beat USC, you hope USC goes
9-3. You can't lose to Washington, USC.
And then Washington go 4-8. You can't have that.
Yeah, and you need other teams to probably help you out a little bit.
So the point I was trying to make is they don't ever have to beat Ohio State ever again in the regular season, and they could get to the playoff every year. Now, there at some point there will come a time where they would play Ohio State in the playoff. That would happen. Georgia and Alabama run into each other in the playoff, you know, sometimes. So, theoretically, you're going to have to get over the Ohio State hump at some point, maybe. But maybe you have one great year where you're great, and maybe even lose Ohio State in the regular season, but somebody else beats them in the playoff, and they knock them. Maybe it's a bad matchup for you. So that's where we are with the 12-team playoff, is that Penn State is in such a tremendous situation right now. They would have made a 12-team playoff 6 of the last 8 years. Instead, they made 0 at 4, all because of the bugaboo with Ohio State.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, avoiding them is the biggest thing, because if you go 11-1 every year, I know as a Penn State fan, I'd be thrilled, because we're in the playoffs every year. So, and once you get into the dance, anything can happen. Who knows? Maybe they play Ohio State in the middle of October, late October, and God forbid their quarterback goes down with injury or something like that. There's always crazy stuff that could happen. And sort of like a Jordan Travis thing with Florida State this year. Everybody was going to be fearful of them. All of a sudden, Travis goes down. Next thing you know, that Florida State team, I think, loses 63-0 in their bowl game to Georgia. So it's really just, now that you avoid Ohio State, you're given almost a second life where you can lose a game out of the next 11, whether that's a Washington or a USC. I mean, their schedule this year is very favorable for them to go in. Their win total is 9.5, which I think they should hit.
Given that schedule, and again, unless a couple of those teams are just way better.
They got to go to Wisconsin, which is not going to be an easy game.
They could lose to either Wisconsin or USC. That's why I keep mentioning those two. If you got to fly to LA, you could lose that game.
Absolutely.
Even if I don't think USC is going to be very good, and I think the transition to the Big Ten is really going to affect those teams from a physicality standpoint. But you could still lose out there.
Absolutely. Yeah. Did you say UCLA's win total is 5.5? I think that's so high.
I think UCLA is going to get killed in the Big Ten.
I think they're going to get 2-10, 3-9, because I mean they lost their coach, they lost their quarterback
just this year. I think UCLA is looking at 4 to 5 wins every year.
Yeah, maybe. I think 5.5 is. I don't. Maybe they got some talent on there that I just
maybe
don't
they had
know
some
about.
Transfers or
yeah.
something.
But West Virginia week 1-2, I don't think that's going to be a gimme. I like Garrett Green's a good quarterback for West Virginia, so they're going to struggle, I think, a little bit against them. But I think they can still end up winning it. I mean, I don't think West Virginia is a powerhouse by any mean, but you're going in there first week, it's going to be rocking. Everybody's going to have hope because, like I said, Garrett Green is a good quarterback, and if they can somehow win the Big 12, which Big 12, I mean, you had Texas and Oklahoma leave, so it might be a little open, so they might have a little bit of hope. I mean, if they knock off a Penn State week 1, West Virginia, I mean, they're playoff hopeful as well. So,
all right, so let's get into expectations. If you want to join us, 946-0435. In the next 10 years, the realistic expectation is that Penn State will make the playoff how many times?
Next 10 years, I'm going to go 7.
Okay, that's my number as well. 6 is probably maybe a little more realistic, but 7 is definitely doable.
With 12 teams going to go to 14,
correct.
It should be 7.
7 and maybe even 8. 6 to 8, they're all possible. Okay, here's where the rubber meets the road. If they make the playoff 7 times in the next 10 years, how many times do they win at least one game? Because this, in as much as the second question I'm going to ask you, will by and large play a big role in how long James Franklin is there.
Just one game, I'm going to go 5 times they should win out of that 7.
Wow, that's a big number.
Because they're going to be there, because I would imagine a lot of times they're going to be that 6-7.
Why? Why are you mad? I'm thinking they're going to be the 10 or 11.
Really, you think?
Yeah, because they're going to lose to Ohio State every year, and they're going to lose to somebody else.
I don't know. I mean, I think 5 is realistic. 5 out of 7.
Now,
if you're going to be playing,
they're not in the same division as Ohio State and Michigan anymore, so this isn't necessarily fair. But they would have been a 5 seed, I think, in 16.
16, yeah.
And would they have been a 6 seed one of those other years?
Because I think
all the rest of those years they would have been like 9-12.
Yeah.
So again,
I know 2019 they were looking good till they lost to Minnesota as well. I think it was that year. So
again, this is, I'm glad we're going down this road. Your answer to the question, you say they're going to be in the top 5, 6, 7. That means they're hosting a game.
Yeah, if they host the game, if they were to host seven games, they should win five of those.
See, I think if they're in there seven times, I think they win three, because I think four or five of those they're going to be on the road, and they're probably going to be an underdog. Because again,
it depends who they're. It really is going to depend who's.
They don't
where.
Play Ohio State every year. They're gonna Ohio State some. They're gonna play Michigan some. I think Michigan is ripe for a letdown, like a serious letdown. Michigan was not a great football program for a good number of years until Harbaugh finally got them back a couple years ago. So the years Ohio State cycles off Penn State's schedule, that's the year you got to finish fifth, sixth, seventh, if not in the top four, because now you've got a home game.
If you're avoiding Ohio State, assuming a USC or a Michigan isn't like a top five team in the country, you should be going almost perfect. I mean, you might have 11-1, but you should set your sights on perfect at that point if you're avoiding Ohio State. Because Ohio State, I mean, that's the problem. That's the problem of the Big Ten. Michigan shouldn't be, USC shouldn't be, Washington
Michigan will
be
very tough, especially when you got to go out there. They've gotten destroyed out there. But again, I just question USC. You know, I seriously question Washington and Oregon. Oregon could be a legitimate factor.
Oh, I forgot about Oregon.
They've got the Phil Knight money. Phil Knight, from what I was reading last week, he is hell bent on them winning national titles. So that guy might give them $3 billion over the next 15 or 20 years if he's alive, for all we know. While Penn State's scrambling to get Blaze Alexander money for NIL deals. Okay, so how's that for a little name drop?
That's a good pull.
So if in that 7 year window you're thinking they win five playoff games, they at least win at least one game five times.
Yes.
Then James Franklin can write his ticket and coach at Penn State for as long as he wants. What he cannot do is go 2-5.
No, you can't do that. He'll be gone if they go 2-5.
Because then, I think it is a realistic expectation for all of us that Penn State, as the 9th or 10th best college football program in the country, just in general, should be in the top 12 most years, no matter who's coaching.
Should be.
So whether it's James Franklin or Joe Schmo or Joe Lunchbucket or anybody else, that's where the impetus will be on James to win that first playoff game.
I think James actually,
that's giant.
It is. I think James in the next 10 years needs to make the Final Four twice for his job to
be safe. Okay, so this is where we'll disagree. Okay. I think if you win one game 60% of the time and you lose the first round 30% of the time, even 40% of the time, if you can get to one Final Four. Because they have not gotten to a Final Four. They've gotten to zero right now. We got to think about this in terms of zeros. Or it's zero right now.
Yeah.
So if they lose in the first round this year, and then he makes the Final Four next year, 10-year contract. New 10-year contract.
I don't know.
$11 million a year.
I don't know. And the reason I say it is because
as soon as he gets to the Final Four, he will have an unbelievable amount of leverage. Because I think he's got 6 years left on the deal, if I'm not mistaken, maybe seven. Even if they lose in the first round this year, and then they lose in the first round next year, if he makes the Final Four, boom. Any and all leverage is all in his favor now.
I don't know.
But if you lose in the first round 3 years in a row, he's fired. You see what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
I'll lay out a scenario for you. You lose in the first round this year. You lose in the first round next year, but you go to the Final Four in 26. James Franklin gets a 10-year contract. You lose in the first round three times in a row, he's fired.
I don't know.
You got to be thinking where he would be in that contract in 3 years. If he loses in the first round 3 years in a row, he's only got 3-4 years left on his deal, and that's when all coaches get antsy because they need to be able to have enough time on their deal to go through recruiting cycles.
Yeah, and the only reason I disagree with that is because I think about LSU with Ed Orgeron, and they let him go
two years. But he was a moron. He was a complete moron.
I mean, they had the title
in 19, but then everything got away from them down there because he was just a loudmouth jackass. He just did a lot of weird things. Players got in trouble left and right.
Yeah, players were doing weird stuff on and off the field. I mean, throwing shoes. I think it was them who threw the shoe against Florida.
That's not quite a legitimate comparison, I don't think, to Penn State because they were just doing weird things. I think the 2019 LSU team is the greatest team in the history of college football.
I agree with you on that. I do, too.
And he's fired 2 years later.
That's
how bad of a coach do you have to be fired 2 years after that?
How I guess maybe it was his coordinators, but how good of a coach do you need to get that?
He lost, apparently the guy, everything there was the coordinators.
Joe Brady was a good coordinator.
Well, yeah, Joe Burrow, who had the greatest season in college football history.
That team, Joe Burrow, Justin Jefferson, yeah. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, yeah. Jamar Chase.
They were amazing. Greatest offense. Now, the defense might not have been as great. But
their defense has a lot of NFL talent on there, too.
It did, but they were also giving up 40 to some teams in the SEC.
True.
That just goes to show how different it was.
True.
So what we're getting at here is, from an expectation standpoint, the expectation is that any coach should be able to get Penn State into a playoff.
Yeah, I think so.
So if James is losing in the first round, he will be gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because the expectation would be, anybody can get us here, James. But if he wins a game, he's bought himself another year or two.
Maybe. It's just like the NFL, where the NFL coach usually, I mean, if you're getting to the playoffs and losing, I guess Mike Tomlin is the only exception.
The only one.
Mike Tomlin is the only exception, but I mean, if you're getting to the playoffs almost every year, you're if you're not winning games, you're still going to be gone because there's always
playoffs, yeah.
Because you need to win.
I was reading a story the other day. This predates you from a long time ago. It was like 1982, 83. The Philadelphia Phillies were in first place. Mm-hmm. They fired their manager, Pat Corrales. They were in first place. He's the only manager to ever be fired while in first place in baseball history. But they were only like 10 games over 500 or 6 games over, and apparently they had this unbelievable roster. So he ends up getting fired. And they're in first place. Anyway, I don't know why I thought of that. But so if James loses in the first round this year, there will be pressure next year. All that pressure's gone if he wins. Because we're talking two games. You got to win two games to get to Final Four. That's mm-hmm. it. If you're a sixth seed and you got a home game in the first round, now maybe you get a good matchup that's not Ohio State or Georgia or Alabama in the second round, and you're in the Final Four.
You might get like a Florida State or I don't even know who's in the Big 12 really anymore. West Virginia, will say, I guess.
Kansas State. So, again, as soon as James gets to a Final Four, he has bought himself a significant amount of time on the other end versus three straight years with either no playoff or no playoff wins. I legitimately think he's fired.
I do, too. I think that there's expectations at Penn State. He at least needs to win playoff games. Whether it's every year or every other year, he needs to win a game or games.
Plural. So let's close on this, because the reality is, and whether this should be the case or not, are you a message board guy? Okay.
I am not.
Good for you. I'm not either. The reality is Penn State fans don't like James Franklin. Is that fair or not?
Yeah, that's a reality, I think.
But is that fair?
No.
Yeah, I don't agree either. The guy's done tremendous things.
He's an excellent recruiter. He has brought so much talent to that program.
But he's not Joe Paterno.
Coaching-wise, he's not Joe Paterno.
He doesn't beat Ohio State in Michigan. I believe, comment on this if you want. If you don't want to, it's perfectly fine. I believe there's a racial element. We're in central Pennsylvania. He lives in a gigantic, predominantly white area. I think that there is a racial component to that stuff. But there are reasons out there why people do not like James Franklin. Now, you can say that you don't. Or you can claim that he doesn't beat Ohio State and Michigan and say no matter what else he does, he doesn't beat Ohio State and Michigan. Is that enough to not like James Franklin?
Yeah, because that's what I don't dislike James Franklin, but I'm annoyed he does not beat Ohio State and Michigan, seems year after year.
Yeah, is that enough? Again, because we're in the era now. I want to take a break here because Nathan's going to take over to close the show. Is that enough to say, hey, even if you've made the playoffs three times in a row, and you would have made it by that point, because it's 6 out of 8 now. It would be 9 out of 11 years Penn State would have made a Final 12. If he's not winning a playoff game, does he have a job?
I don't think so. I personally do not think if he does not win a playoff game in 3 years, he does not have a job.
Yeah. All right, Nathan will take over after this.
I'm Kerry Murphy with your NASCAR Xfinity Series race recap from Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Riley Herbst grabs his first win of the season at the historic Indianapolis Motor Speedway.
Yeah, that was impressive. I impressed myself. I was proud of that drive right there. I don't remember. I got off turn four and I was probably about a second and a half behind the 00. And I knew I was better than him. I just had an inch towards him. And there for a second, about four to go, I didn't think I was going to get it. I just thought I was getting tight and it was going to be tough. And then three to go, I made a big jump on him in a gain. I was like, okay, we got a shot at it. And then coming to two to go, I got to his inside off of four, and I had the momentum, and I was like, okay, cool, well, we got it. And then he said bottom of three, and I was like, what in the world? What do you mean? And I look in my mirror, and the 20s just got a ginormous run off the top, and I was like, oh. So luckily, I cleared the double zero into turn one.
He led 30 of the 100 laps in this one. Cole Custer was second, followed by Eric Almirola, Shane Van Gisbergen, and Sheldon Creed rounds out the top five. Quick regular season point standings look like this. Cole Custer is on top by 56 over Justin Allgaier. Up next for the NASCAR Xfinity Series, a few weeks off as the Olympic Games take over. Set your calendar for Michigan, August 17th, 3:30 p.m. Eastern on USA. You're on the final lap.
At Progressive, we know money can't buy happiness. But money did buy your boat, where you find peace fishing, unlike at home with three teenage daughters. Because fish never argue about who stole whose crop top, or get mad the other fish used up all the hot water. No, they just swim around, never embarrassed to be seen with you in public. So save money by bundling your boat or RV insurance with home or auto from Progressive. And buy more happiness, or something close to it. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company affiliates and other insurers not available in all states.
Every business faces challenges, but complicated, expensive, and uncertain shipping shouldn't be one of them.
With USPS Ground Advantage from the United States Postal Service, you can avoid all the noise.
No more unexpected surcharges, hidden fees, or complex rate structures.
It's just easy, cost-effective, and dependable shipping. Tune your business's frequency to success and turn shipping to your advantage. Learn how at usps.com/advantage. USPS Ground Advantage. Simple, affordable, reliable.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Tesnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text BODY to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text BODY to 321-321. That's BODY to 321-321.
Life's great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9 to 5. On Saturday from 9 to 4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central. I'm Nathan Ferlina, joined with Corey Geiger. Hopefully everybody's day is going great. Before we get into this next little segment, I do have to mention, if you are in need of something to help you get through the long summer days, look no further than a J.M. Boswell's pipe or cigar. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. Open 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday. You can find the best pipes in central Pennsylvania right there. And they're always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell's pipe. All right, so we're in transition. We're going to stick with Big Ten football right here. We're going to talk about some coaches and how they fare kind of at their job security and stuff like that. So we're going to be talking about the hot seat for these coaches. So I'm going to name off some names, Corey. I want you to tell me, out of 10, are they in the hot seat? So 10 being the hottest, 1 being there's no pressure really on them. I mean, unless they literally go winless, they're probably keeping their job. Got it?
Can we start with Kirk Ferentz?
Yeah, we'll start there. Kirk Ferentz, where do you think Iowa puts him? Do you think he's close to being fired at all?
I really don't, and it's so weird because I could spend a lot of time, and I have spent a lot of time over the years on Iowa, because if I were an Iowa fan, I would not be a sports fan.
It's a tough watch.
I don't know how those people – I mean, we have the Pirates here, and the Pirates will torment you because they have a cheap-ass owner who won't spend any money. But imagine having a football coach who's the longest tenured coach in the country who believes that offense is like evil.
It's wild. I mean, the Pirates honestly outscore the Hawkeyes more than you'd probably think. It's wild.
So out of ten, is he on the hunt? I'd say five.
Okay, I'd say even less than that.
Well, he had to fire his son Brian, the offensive coordinator, last year because they've just been such a disaster. But they've had enough success. For as much as I've criticized Kirk Ferentz over the years, I've been to Iowa a number of times. It's not heaven, as Kevin Costner says in Field of Dreams. You literally are in the middle of nowhere. I don't know where he gets talent to recruit from going up in the Midwest against all of those other powers that recruit there. So I do respect Kirk Ferentz. He has found a way to win and stay relevant. But my God, man, if I had to watch Iowa football every week, I literally would shoot my TV.
I mean, if you're going 10-2 with that offense, it's actually, you're probably a pretty damn good coach, I can imagine. 10-2 with that offense is beyond my wildest dreams.
Oh my gosh, that's such a risk. Can we spend an hour on Kirk Ferentz? Because I spent a lot of time the other day on, is it a good pitch if it's hit for a home run? Can you throw a good pitch, but then it's hit for a home run? By definition, is it a good pitch?
Probably not then. If it's gone, it's probably not a good pitch.
I used to think not. But then I learned, like, you can do everything you want with a pitch, but Vlad Guerrero would golf it off 3 inches off the ground, hit a homer. You threw a great pitch. So you made the statement that how good of a coach do you have to be to go 10-2 with that offense? And my flip to that would be, how terrible of a coach do you have to be to have that offense?
Yeah, it goes both ways. It goes both ways.
So I'll go 4 or 5. He's not on the hot seat.
Okay, I'm just looking at names on the list. Matt Rhule.
I think he's going to do a pretty damn good job.
I do too.
They're not going to be Nebraska ever again, what they were. But I would say 3. There is pressure.
That's exactly where I have him.
There's pressure because Nebraska is tired of this crap.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, I've been in Nebraska. Those are as passionate as football fans as there are anywhere, and they're tired of it. But I think Rhule's going to do a good job.
I agree. Lincoln Riley.
7.
Dead on again. That's where I had him.
I think USC's transition to the Big Ten is going to be a struggle. He is not a physical, even when he was Oklahoma. Remember how terrible their defenses were? My buddy Rob isn't texting me today, so he may not be listening. Big Oklahoma fan. I mean, it was embarrassing. Oklahoma would lose games 52-48 or whatever. You can't do that in the Big Ten. And I think he's going to struggle at USC because he's just not going to be physical. He's not going to have a physical enough background to compete with the top 3 or 4 in the Big Ten.
Yeah, you're just going to need to win shootouts. You got to hope that you...
And commitment, he might be an 8.
What'd they
go, 7-5 last year?
Yeah.
With the returning Heisman?
I am shocked people do not talk about him more on the hot seat because it seems like he's given just a leash right now that he really doesn't deserve, in my opinion.
If they crash and burn at 6-6... I mean, who knows? They paid him a lot. They paid $11 million.
Yeah.
So the buyout, I'm sure, is astronomical. So he would probably get one more year. But 2 years of 6-6, he's gone.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. Michael Oxley.
I just don't know that there are expectations there. You want to talk about the ultimate little brother. I mean, every year they go 5-0, 6-1, and then
collapse.
two players get hurt, and it's like their whole damn program is – that's the difference between Penn State and Maryland. If Penn State has a guy go down, and clearly we're talking difference with a quarterback, you know, with Sean Clifford or whatever. But if somebody gets hurt at Maryland, like, their whole football program, like, falls apart. Like,
exactly.
They don't have a next man up. Like, if one or two guys there go down, it's like, oh, my God, you go from 5-1 to whatever, 5-7, 6-6.
100% agree.
So I would go, but again, I don't think the expectations are tremendously high there, so I'll go a 5.
Okay. PJ Fleck, kind of the same. I don't know what the expectations are, but he's been there forever, and he really hasn't done too much.
Well, he was good a couple years ago with the whole row the boat thing. Let me see what they did exactly last year, because I don't remember exactly what Minnesota did last year. I'll pull that up.
I think they went 5-7.
I would,
but I think they made a bowl game. Weirdly enough, I think they got put in one.
They were 3-6 last year.
Oh my God!
I would say he's hot because he was 7-2 in 2019, but 3-4, 6-3, 5-4. I would say he's a 7. There are expectations of Minnesota. That's a proud traditional program. They expect to do better than 3-6, 5-4, that kind of thing.
Yeah. Sharon Moore. He's a first
year
coach.
Wait a minute. I looked at that wrong.
That was their Big Ten record.
Yes, their overall records were 9-4, 9-4, 6-7. But the Big Ten records, 5-4, 3-6, especially with these other teams coming in. Minnesota can't be losing to UCLA.
Yeah, that's going to be where you're going
to
win games.
They might lose to USC and Oregon, but they can't be losing to UCLA and Washington. Minnesota expects to beat those people.
100%. Sharon Moore. He's at Michigan now, first year. I mean, you know, he had his moment where it seemed like Harbaugh died, and you know he rallied the troops, but he just got busted.
There's no hot seat there, but he can't come in and do a Rich Rodriguez there and just suck right away.
Yeah, so if he goes like 7-5, do you think people are calling for his head immediately?
Yes.
Okay.
7-5.
Yes.
I mean, you are still Michigan.
That's what I mean.
The defending national champ.
Because I think they're going to go about 7-5, 8-4.
I don't think this.
I mean, they got Will Johnson's a great corner on their defense, but that's as much as I can tell you about that team now.
Okay.
Donovan Edwards is still a good running back. He's there too, but
I almost think that Michigan is going to be an inevitable downfall or inevitable drop off for them over the next couple of years. Because Harbaugh played a style and a system that was they don't do that anymore in college football. They were able to get away with it for a few years, but I don't know that that's a sustainable system where you're just always going to have bigger offensive linemen and just bludgeon people with your running backs.
Yeah, 100%. Let's try to knock out two more real quick. Luke Fickell, Wisconsin.
This is only, year two for him, so
yeah.
He's not on the hot seat, but they got to win 8 games, so I'd give it somewhat of a 4.
Okay. And the big one, Ryan Day. Where do you think he falls on this list?
You know, it's insane that people talk about him. He is probably a 7 or an 8. Realistically, he should be a 2. If they go 10-2, he legitimately could get fired.
I think he gets fired if they go 10-2.
Yeah, I mean, when you're
they play Oregon? I think they do play Oregon this year. I want to say
okay, but that 10-2 gets them in the play. Would it not make sense for? Would it not surprise you if Ohio State goes 10-2 and figures it out and wins the whole damn thing?
No, it wouldn't surprise me at all. I mean, I think that's the only way. The only way if they go 10-2 that Ryan Day's there is if I think he
won it out in the playoff.
Final four,
yeah,
probably.
Yeah, they get in the play. That's right. That he could salvage himself in the playoff.
Yeah, I think that's the only way he stays there. All right, wrap it up on our side.
Great moments aren't complete without a great cigar for you and your friends. Visit J.M. Boswell's before golf, fishing, a fishing trip to the beach will make your visit easy and fast. Don't show up to that summer party or golf outing without a cigar pack from J.M. Boswell's, 6481 William Penn Highway, Alexandria, PA. Open Tuesday through Friday, 9-5. On Saturday from 9-4. And always open online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
It's a grand slam.
Everyone loves a grand slam, and now you can score one with Kepner's Grandview Meats. Stop in at Kepner's Grandview Meats from now until the end of the curve season and register for the Grandview Grand Slam Contest. If your name is called out during WRTA mornings and a grand slam is hit, you win a $100 gift certificate from Kepner's Grandview Meats, the home of quality meats, hot and cold subs, and more. Stop in and register. No purchase necessary. Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Remember when you used to cruise the boulevard back in the day? Maybe you stopped at J&P Automart to check out their inventory. Well, you know you still can. J&P Automart is still rocking Central PA with the best deals. Check them out online at jmpautomart.com where you can apply for financing and see their inventory of over 200 units. Or cruise in like you used to 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard and see them in person. Got a trade? J&P will give you $1,000 push, pull, or tow. Apply for financing online. J&P Automart, in business for 64 years, so they must be doing something right.
The ShoeFly tent sale is here. Don't miss the biggest sales event of the season. We've stomped down prices on athletic shoes, dress and casual shoes, sandals, work boots, and more for men, women, and kids. Save up to 70% on everything under the big white tents. And save $10 on shoes inside the store, too. Don't miss the ShoeFly tent sale July 22nd through August 3rd. Check it out at the ShoeFly in the Pleasant Valley Shopping Center, Altoona. ShoeFly.
Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast, bread and rolls, Pacific Coast.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with two branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata. Hank FM.
All right, welcome back to Sports Central. It's Nathan Leon talking. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show today. A lot of Penn State talk, so it's good. Getting back to football season, cannot wait. It's my favorite time of the year. It's the fall because you got college football, NFL, Saturdays and Sundays. Best time to be alive.
We got lots and lots and lots of football discussion coming up here over the next couple months. And here in 2 minutes, we've got Black and Gold Breakdown, our season preview. Kreider, Bortner will be in here. We'll talk some Steelers. Training camp opens this week. Russell Wilson, what's the expectation? We got a lot of great stuff, Nathan.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Football's coming back. Hopefully everybody enjoyed the show. Take care.